In this episode of Water Break, Ryan and I are talking about some of the best sporting events we've been to. From basketball games to boxing matches, we take a look back at our favorite experiences watching sports. So keep on listening. It's going to be a good one.
Hey everyone, my name is Ryan Cavan, and I'm here with my co-host, Terrell Thurlgood.
What's up, everybody?
We want to welcome you to Water Break. Here on our show, we are going to have conversations with each other, as well as with a variety of other guests who are just as involved and as passionate about sports as we are.
From professional athletes, to coaches, to college players trying to make it big, to the high school athlete trying to earn that scholarship, and everyone in between.
Whether you're a coach, player, or just a fan, we are here to have unique dialogue and perspectives on topics we have thought about, talked about, and are now excited to bring to you.
So be sure to stick around, hit that subscribe button on whatever podcast app you're using right now, and get ready to relax and take a water break. Welcome back to another episode of Water Break. My name is Terrell Thurlgood. I'm here with Ryan Cavan.
What's going on, guys? How we doing?
We're excited for another fun show we got planned for you guys.
Yeah, some topics today, and really kind of based on personal experience, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, this episode is not really a ton of debate on this one. We're just more talking about some cool things that hopefully maybe bring back some times and experiences that you've had in your own life in pertaining to sports, and particularly going to sporting events. Now, I've been to a good number of sporting events, baseball, basketball, football, even some combat sports. Mm-hmm. And so I've had a ton of good experiences at sporting events. Some bad experiences, whether yes. it's my team losing or just...
Does monster trucks count as a sport?
Yeah, I guess. Based on the definition of sport.
Yeah. I used to go to those when I was a kid. I haven't been to one in a minute, but... I used to love them.
I used
Grave Digger.
Yeah, I never been to them. I only used to see them like on those infomercials or where those commercials. They'd be like, "Come on down to the Rally Sports." Blah blah blah. Blah. It's just like it's that guy with like a real ashy voice. Yeah, that's my only experience.
It's definitely a different breed of people that it draws to those to that type of crowd, yeah, for sure.
Breed is an interesting word that you brought up there. I've been to Supercross before.
Okay, yeah,
over here at Angel Stadium. That was different. I've been to I think they're called like the Dirt Races or something like that.
Yeah.
You ever been
to the U.S. Open at Huntington?
The surfing?
Yeah.
I've not seen them like compete, but I've seen everything set up.
You've been down there been down like while the it's area. Been going on. Yeah. It's pretty sweet to see while they're competing and everything like that. That's really fun. It was always something me and my buddies would do in high school and even in junior high a little bit, go down there and watch that. Always a fun time.
Yeah.
In the hometown of Huntington Beach, California.
Surf City.
That's right.
So which brings us to our first topic of the day, our lead question. And that is, what's the greatest sporting event you've ever been a part of?
Yeah, this is something because I think sometimes even negative moments can be great.
Yeah.
And so I have a few that I wrote down that were moments that really stuck out to me, games in particular that stuck out to me, experiences, not just games, experiences, I should say. So I got three specifically that I want to bring up. All right. I won't take too long on all of them. Just kind of want to give them a little shout real quick.
Let's hear it.
The first one, Game 7 of the World Series, Dodgers versus the Astros.
Ooh.
Someone had actually bought me a ticket to that game.
Okay.
I went by myself. They bought me one single ticket.
Oh, you didn't even sit with the person?
No, didn't sit. They didn't go.
Oh, they bought it for me.
Yeah, literally bought it for me.
Wow, that's a good person.
I went by myself. Yeah, they said, "Come on, you got to go to a Game 7 of the World Series. When are you going to be able to say that your team was in a Game 7 again?" And I was like, "I don't know if ever, you know." So was definitely hoping the Dodgers would pull that one out. But obviously, the Trashstros.
The Cheaters.
The Cheaters. And we
this
will.
This is the one team I think we're both fans of.
Yes. We will, T, be having a topic about cheating in baseball and
absolutely.
Specifically the Astros And I don't think there'll be much debating during that topic
it'll be a big old venting session.
Yes, it's not going to be debating. We're just going to be venting back and forth to each other. But I was at that game 7, and the environment, you know, the energy was amazing at the start. After the first inning, every inning it would just get the energy would just get sucked more and more out of the stadium. But it was a fun experience to be there for, even at the end. I didn't love it in the moment, but just like looking back when the Dodgers lost and, you know, Dodger fans are crazy, throwing beer everywhere and just getting sprayed with beer. It's definitely a moment I look back on that I'll never remember. I'll never forget a sports moment I'll never forget for sure.
Yeah.
Probably.
Did you sit with Dodger fans?
I did. Yeah, okay. All Dodger fans. I was on the Dodger side. Yeah, it was Dodger fans all around me. There were not many even Astro fans anywhere in the stadium.
So you got the beer shower from Dodger fans too.
Yeah, well, it wasn't specifically towards me.
Yeah, not
it
at
was just
you.
Thrown. But it was just... Yeah, and it would get in your direction. There were cans on the field. They were announcing, "Please do not throw anything on the field." You know,
but
it was
listening.
No one cares. You know, at this point, when your team loses, they were furious. So that was a fun experience. The next sporting event that sticks out is one that you and I actually went to together. Which was Manny Pacquiao versus Adrian Broner.
Okay.
That was my first boxing match I've ever been to.
Yeah.
And it was an unbelievable experience.
Oh, yeah. I remember just the drive out that way, going from here to Las Vegas.
Yeah, I mean, the whole experience was fun. You know, the trip, you, me, and one of our buddies, Jared, came with us.
Yeah.
And just the road trip and the memories there, but just that sporting event in general. I wasn't a huge boxing fan building up to it. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed it. I watched a few fights, you know, on pay-per-view and things like that. But going to that event, and you had told me, you know, kind of saying, hey, you know, this is an amazing experience. It'll be unlike anything you've ever done. And I didn't want to build my expectations up too high. But when I showed up, it really was the energy in that room, especially where we were sitting with all the Pacquiao fans, all those Filipinos going crazy, was just... That was so fun. He walks into the building, and people were just going wild, chanting "Manny, Manny!" It was so fun. Of course, just seeing him get a victory, and those fans—they love him, man. I mean,
it's awesome.
It is obviously, you know, in boxing, it really, you know, you think in Ultimate Fighting, really think of Conor McGregor, and you know, they. The Irish, you know, just completely support him and they go crazy for him. And Manny, you know, the Filipinos, they go crazy for him. And so that is such a unique thing to me. And it was just such a fun experience to be at.
Yeah.
And to just be in that room and experience it was something I'll never forget for sure.
Those are the two of like my top three, like fighting fan bases.
Oh, yeah. Where
are Filipino fans, Irish fans, and Mexican fans.
I mean, oh, yeah.
It's a whole nother level.
They put us American fans to shame.
Oh,
bro.
It's hard to describe. I mean, it isn't just, it's insane. The energy is at a 10 all the time.
Oh, the whole time.
Yeah, the whole time.
It never stops. And there was, I was literally sitting next to a 60-year-old Filipino lady who, just going wild.
Yeah.
Just going absolutely insane. And she didn't stop the whole time.
No.
She was going 20 minutes before Manny even walked in the building. And then the fight was over and she was still freaking out going
the
wild.
The national anthem starts playing.
Oh my goodness, bro. It was so cool. So that was a fun experience.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I'm a huge Laker fan. Obviously, we've talked about this a lot. But I went to... two games, Kobe's last season, his farewell tour. The first one was against the Dallas Mavericks, where Dirk hit a game winner on us.
Yeah,
that was a fun game. The only disappointment was Kobe didn't play.
Mm-hmm.
And we found out just a few hours before tip-off, which was heartbreaking. It was devastating.
Yeah.
So I went to another game and saw him play against the Timberwolves, and it was actually his second best game of the year. February 2nd, dropped 38 points, a struggling Lakers team coming off 10 straight losses, got the win, and Andrew Wiggins played well, but Kobe showed that he's one of the GOATs.
Kobe does what Kobe the Mamba came
I
out.
I said one of the GOATs, okay? I didn't say the GOATs. So
I hear you.
Okay. So that was a fun experience, and obviously being a huge Laker fan, seeing him kind of, it seemed like he was a little back to normal in that game. It kind of seemed like seeing vintage Kobe a little bit, not number 8 Kobe, but early number 24 Kobe. That was just, it was a fun experience, an emotional experience, kind of to just relive all the memories that I remember in my years being a Laker fan. So those are kind of my three big moments. I don't know if I could pick which one would be the best for me. Obviously not the World Series game, but between that Kobe game and between the Manny fight, those two were both amazing moments. What about you, T? What do you think is your favorite sports moment that you've been a part of live?
Well, I mean, this is tough because there's so many I was trying to think of.
Yeah.
I remember the first time I saw Kobe play. I only seen Kobe play once.
Really?
And we got box seats to watch them. They played the Grizzlies in December. It was probably like two or three days before Christmas.
Is this his last season?
No. This was back in about 2014, I think.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
So a couple years before the end.
Yeah. So, but that was the only time I ever got to see him play live. I thought about the boxing matches, the Pacquiao fights that we went to. I think my the Pacquiao Bradley 3, that was a fun event. I think that was my first Pacquiao fight that I've been to.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Canelo versus Amir Khan. That was crazy. And Canelo just dropped him. That was the first event I had seen in the T-Mobile arena.
Oh, okay.
I'm not sure if that was the first event there, but that was my first time there, and it was just watching the knockout on that giant screen there in the arena.
Yeah.
Was unbelievable. Watching his eyes roll to the back of his head was in 4K, I think.
That huge screen, yeah. Just seeing that.
Yeah. But I got three as well, and one of them was just...
You just named three.
Just, I know.
So
I just
you named, have six.
Six, yeah. The three of ones that are like that are probably the coolest ones that I've been a part of. One of them, like you, just as being... Actually, two of them just being a fan of the sport, and then one of them as a fan of the team. But the first one was as a Broncos fan. This past season, went to see the Thursday night game, Broncos versus Chiefs, and that was my first game at Mile High Stadium. Oh, I had been to a couple Broncos games before as the visiting team, for them as a visiting team, but to go to Mile High as a fan and to get to participate in like all of the things that the fans do before the game. I mean, seeing, you know, Thunder run out on the field, to see the them parachute down into the stadium, and then, you know, every time an incomplete pass, you know, the whole crowd just incomplete, just to get to do that. And just
being
just
a fan for so many years and then finally and getting then finally, to experience it.
Yeah. So that was probably, I mean, we got destroyed by the Chiefs that game. I think we scored one touchdown in our first drive, and then that was it. And
so you went on a real quick high.
Yeah, real high.
And then slowly went declining. Just
booing Joe Flacco the rest of the game. Oh, he was awful that game.
Was there any games he was really great with Denver?
Yeah, there was little to no games that he was really good with Denver. And then I would say the next event that was awesome was this one as a fan of basketball, going to the Clippers Warriors game back in 2015.
Okay, yeah.
And I took a couple students to this game, and at the time I lived in the DC area, and so I brought a couple students. They had never been to California before, so I brought three of them out to California, and we went to a Clippers Warriors game. We sat on the Clippers side of the stadium, or the arena, I should say, and this is the play where Steph Curry, I can't remember which quarter in the game, but he's driving baseline, and then he acts like he's about to reverse, and then he just drops Chris Paul.
Oh, yeah.
You know the play.
Absolutely.
He drops Chris Paul down on one hand. And
hand behind his back.
Hand behind his back.
Yeah.
Yep, and then all of the memes afterwards.
Really? I didn't know you were at that game.
Yeah. That was and the whole arena went nuts.
Oh, sure.
And it was mostly Clipper fans, but they just went insane because they knew that was a play that was...
That's still a moment that is played on House of Highlight, Bleacher Report. I mean, constantly.
Yeah, it's in any top of Steph Curry's top plays of his career.
Oh yeah, and we'll be playing for that'll be that video will be playing forever. Oh yeah, I mean,
that was a crazy game. But for me, I think the most intense and the coolest sporting event I've ever been to was UFC 200.
Oh, okay.
Now, this didn't, I mean, the main event wasn't what it was supposed to be. So this was supposed to be McGregor versus Diaz.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, so this is the first one. And then McGregor gets pulled off the card, I think because he didn't go to his press conference.
I was going
to
say showed up late or didn't show up or something. Yeah,
he just didn't go to his press conference. So he got pulled off that card. And then Dana White does what Dana White does best. He comes up with this great replacement fight, right? He comes up with Jon Jones versus DC, Daniel Cormier. I think this was their third matchup. This was Jones versus Cormier 3. And so we're super excited for that one. Like, okay, cool. If you can't get McGregor Diaz, Cormier Jones is a great replacement fight. And then Jones gets pulled from the card, testing positive for whatever he tests positive for.
Some drug.
So he gets pulled from the card, I think like 3, 4, 5 days before the fight. So that was devastating. And so the main event was Amanda Nunes versus Miesha Tate was the main event. And then the co-main was Lesnar versus Hunt. And I think that was Lesnar's first fight back in the UFC.
Okay.
They also had Silva versus Cormier on that card. And that was a bore. Cormier just laid on top of Silva the whole fight. But the energy in that building, so you're talking about the Irish fans you talked about earlier, they still showed up to the fight because they had all bought.
And Connor showed up, right?
Yeah, Connor was there too. And got to high five Connor after the fight, and I just went insane. I was like, I'm never gonna wash this hand. I mean, who was that? Tom Brady was there, Justin Timberlake was there, Dwight Howard. I mean, just the star-studded event. It was this loud start to finish. That was my favorite sporting event was UFC 200.
I've never been live to the UFC, but we need to make that happen. Yeah. I would love to go and experience that. That would be go.
Get out there once they let fans back into the.
Yeah, hopefully that happens sooner than later. Yeah. I'm ready to go back to experience live sports, but you know we've been missing out in sports in general so much.
Yeah,
even just watching sports on television live is going to be
something new.
It's something. So I mean, I'm just looking forward to sports getting back in general, you know.
Yeah, we went out to dinner the other night and they were replaying like an old an NFL game from last season. I think it was like the Patriots and the Giants.
Oh yeah, yeah.
A Thursday night game. And someone was there who's not like a really a sports fan. They're like, why are they showing an old game? It's like, we just need to see something.
Anything at this point is good.
Yeah.
Well, there you have it. Those are the greatest live events that me and T have been a part of. And I'm sure for those of you that are listening, you've been a part of some pretty amazing experiences as well. So why don't you go ahead and email us at waterbreakpod@gmail.com. If you've been a part of maybe an epic moment, a record breaking moment, we'd love to hear from you. And so once again, email us at waterbreakpod@gmail.com and maybe we'll give you a shout in our next episode.
Yeah, we can't wait to hear from you guys on some of those cool events that you've been a part of.
Well, let's move into the next thing, T, and talk about the NBA. And specifically in the NBA, player movement. Player movement, I would say, is something that I love, but kind of hate at the same time.
Yeah, it's a little bittersweet when you think about it.
Yeah, for sure, because we love the thought that players move. It kind of gives us some drama, especially during the off season when you hear those Woj bombs.
Yeah, some excitement a little bit. You know, Bleacher Report drops a breaking news bit there.
For sure, but at the same time, you love to see players that stick with teams for a long time, that loyalty. Mm-hmm. You love that too. So again, just kind of that love-hate thing when it comes to the NBA. But there's been some big trades, free agent acquisitions that have happened in the NBA in the past 20 years, man, that we could talk about. I mean, LeBron, everywhere he's gone. I mean, when he went to Miami formed the big decision. The decision. I mean, that was crazy. I remember being at the beach with some friends and just like almost not believing it, you know. When he came back to Cleveland, when he came to LA, I mean, every time LeBron has done something, it's just...
It's been a big move.
Yeah, it's been huge.
Well, I mean, even for, you know, me as a diehard Spurs fan, you're used to your players staying there for a long time, and then Kawhi Leonard
saying
he wants out, and it was like, oh my goodness, what are you going to do? And it feels like the franchise is just... is done now.
Oh yeah, you look at Oklahoma. I mean, the Thunder.
Yeah.
I mean, James Harden leaves. Kevin Durant leaves. They bring in Victor Oladipo. They bring in Paul George. Then Paul George leaves. Then Russell Westbrook leaves. Yeah. I mean, they've had so much. Think about it. Still blows my mind. I mean, this could be a whole episode just about the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Yeah.
How many all-stars have come through
Carmelo Anthony,
Oklahoma. Oh yeah. Carmelo, like,
yeah.
And nothing to show for it.
That's yeah. They're, it's kind of a bummer of a deal for them.
I feel like it'd be really hard to be a fan there.
Yeah.
Cause it's just, they've had so many greats and have done nothing with them.
Yeah. They're kind of, yeah, they've been somewhat of a disappointing franchise. If you really think about it. For Oklahoma City. I mean, they've had their really highs, been to the finals, and even being up 3-1 against the Warriors in the Western Conference Finals, and then just to, you know, they're around. OKC's around,
It's
not like they're bad, but, man, imagine what that franchise could have been,
mm-hmm.
you know, how they kept their pieces together.
I mean, we talked about KD leaving. I mean, when he went to the Warriors, that was a huge moment.
Yeah.
He wrote that article, that picture that has been made into 1,000 memes.
KD has decided to team up with
everyone. Whoever it is,
with Thanos, you know, whatever, all the random ones.
There's been some big trades and some huge free agency acquisitions, but at the same time, there's been a lot that we thought were going to go through that ended up falling apart. Some huge ones. So that kind of brings us to this topic. In the past 20, 25 years, T, what are some of the biggest trades or free agency acquisitions that just fell apart?
So when I think of – when I thought of this, I immediately went to the trades.
And, okay.
You know, because free agency, like the one free agent move that I thought of right at the top of my head was DeAndre Jordan. What he did to the Dallas Mavericks.
And they locked in Blake Griffin, Chris Paul, locked him in the house. Mark Cuban couldn't come in.
Yeah, and neither team ended up benefiting from that. And DeAndre Jordan goes to Dallas like a few years later.
Gets traded halfway through the season to New York.
And then, but for the trades, I thought of Kobe Bryant possibly to the Bulls.
I have that one on my list, yeah.
And, oh my word, that was also an intense trade that almost went down. I think it broke down when the Bulls didn't want to give up Luol Deng.
Yep.
The Lakers wanted to get Luol Deng, but Kobe didn't want Luol Deng to leave Chicago.
Yeah, he wanted him to play with him in Chicago.
Yeah. So and that's when
I don't know how Jerry Buss ended up keeping him because he in his mind was set.
Yeah.
On leaving. So that's why, to me, he's the greatest owner in all of sports. But that's another conversation
for another day. But I think the one that is big that could have changed the NBA then and potentially now is Paul George to the Cavs.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Yeah, that's a trade that's not brought up. I mean, that one along with, you know, Kevin Love to the Warriors is another trade that gets brought up. That one gets brought up every now and then. But Paul George to the Cavs, I think because it's so recent, you know, maybe – I don't know for whatever reason, but this was a trade that would have sent I believe the Nuggets were involved with this one. Kevin Love to the Nuggets, and then Gary Harris to the Pacers,
and some picks.
Yeah. And then Paul George to the Cavs. But imagine like a LeBron Paul George combination, and then Kyrie knew he found out his name was in the mix, and so he wanted out, and so there was the potential trade of Kyrie to Phoenix for Eric Bledsoe, and that would have been a Bledsoe, George, and LeBron.
And I'm sure they would have gotten a few other pieces from Phoenix. They would have gotten something.
Yeah. So I think that one, because who knows? I think there's a possibility, you know, Paul George would be in LA right now, because I think the both of them could have, you know, jumped ship together and said we're going to LA.
LA should have just gotten him in the beginning. That's another story for another time. Yeah. I'm pretty upset with pretty upset with Magic at the time because he made it very clear he wanted to go. And then even after when he re-signed with OKC, he was like, nah, you guys didn't come after me. I'm not going to LA, yeah. You know? So, but I think that really, I agree with you. I think that really would have changed some things in the NBA. And I totally forgot about that trade.
Yeah.
That was, seemed like it was really picking up momentum at that time.
Yeah. I thought it was pretty much a done deal
for sure.
Paul George to the, what are yours, Ryan? What are yours?
Yeah. So you already stole two of my three, okay. That I wrote down. I wrote down Kobe to the Bulls. And I put saved by the greatest owner in all of sports somehow. Don't know how that happened, but Jerry Buss worked his magic.
Smooth it over.
He did. Kevin Love to the Warriors, which was supposed to be that swap for Klay Thompson,
yeah.
Which would have, I mean, that really would have changed the NBA. You thinking about the Splash Bro, like Klay leaving. And at that point, Kevin Love was more of an established player than Klay.
Yeah.
But the Warriors, they need to be thanking Jerry West for seeing something in Klay that, you know, people knew he was great, but seeing more in him and saying this is not going to end up being a good trade.
Yeah.
This is not going to end up going over well for you. And Kevin Love would have completely changed their system. Mm-hmm. I mean, he still plays, you know, he could still play outside and shoot and things, but it would have greatly affected the Warriors overall because that dominant 1-2 from the guard position is deadly.
And they still had David Lee, you know, who was, you know.
Of course, yeah, yeah.
A Walmart version of Kevin Love. But still, he could still produce for them.
Absolutely. But the one that I'm thinking of, and once I say it, I mean, you probably already know which one I'm thinking of course, because this is the moment that if you're a Laker fan, you will never, never be able to forgive David Stern for. People always say that David Stern is the greatest commissioner in sports history. I would rather have Roger Goodell.
Wow.
Because of what he did to my Lakers. No, he's a great commissioner. Rest in peace. He's a great commissioner. I'm not going to hate on David Stern. But
you will hate on him for this moment.
Yeah, this moment was heartbreaking when Chris Paul was supposed to come to the Lakers.
Yeah.
December, this was, I think it was 2011, I'm sorry, Lakers New Orleans. They had finalized that deal, and the deal included New Orleans and Houston. So Houston was going to get Paul Gasol. New Orleans was going to get Lamar Odom, Kevin Martin, Louis Scola, and Goran Dragic. And then the Lakers, they were receiving Paul George. Or no, I'm sorry, Chris Paul. Man, Paul George. They were receiving Chris Paul. But less than an hour after the three teams agreed to the terms, David Stern, I mean, he shocked the world. And I remember I was a freshman in college. We had a game that night, and we were at a team dinner. I was getting ready, and I knew that trade. I saw the trade go down. I was just pumped. We get back and find out that David Stern nixed that thing. And I was devastated. I can honestly say I was a devastated Laker fan. And that still gets talked about all the time.
And because, like, for me as a Laker hater, when that was going to happen, it was like, oh, you got to be kidding me. Like,
they pulled something off
and they're going to stay relevant now.
Yeah.
Because you felt like somewhat of a, you felt the drop off coming soon with, you know, Pau Gasol was getting a little bit older. He still had a couple good years left with him in Chicago.
Yeah.
But I mean, you felt it. And then you get the young Chris Paul, you know, who can be the, you know, the 1B to Kobe Bryant in LA. But for those people who don't know why David Stern, a little backstory why he shut it down. The Pelican or the Hornets were owned by the NBA at the time.
The league was essentially running the organization at that time. So David Stern had the
ability to do that.
And yeah, I mean, you ask those questions all the time. What if it happened? Would Kobe have another ring?
Yeah.
You know,
I believe he still would have played a couple more years.
I think so too.
Yeah. He wouldn't have retired as soon as he did.
No. Because I think he would have learned to take a little bit more of a back seat. He could have been, a third option, really reduce his minutes, even play, you know, 20 minutes a game rather than even near the end in games that he would play. He was still pushing 35, 36 minutes. His last third to last year when Dwight Howard was on the team, he was in the top five in the league in minutes. I mean, if he would have had Chris Paul, and they would have obviously, if UFCP with Kobe, you would have been getting other pieces as well coming. You definitely would have, he would have been able to reduce his minutes during the regular season and then get ready for playoffs, be more fresh for that time. So I think it really would have changed, and it would have changed the organization for the Lakers, because we had some rough years after that.
Yeah.
I remember, you know, we got Dwight Howard and we thought that was our saving grace, but that ended up not being as sweet as we thought it was. Steve Nash didn't even have one good year in him. We thought he had maybe one or two, you know, so that would have changed our franchise and really done some things to the NBA. So that to me was the biggest in the past 20, 25 years.
Yeah. Those are good. Those are good. Trade. I have to bow out on this one. I would agree. The Chris Paul trade that fell through was probably the biggest trade to fall through.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Too. I appreciate you giving me the victory there.
I will give you that one. Because I even think down the road, I think pieces like even LaMarcus Aldridge, I think would have, you know, could have been a big piece to sign with the Lakers.
Yeah.
Had they had a dynamic point.
Because he came for that meeting anyways.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he met with the Lakers. And I think that he would have been the one. I think he would have been their main guy in L.A. And I think if he had, you know, Chris Paul or a point guard who can make play, help him, you know, make plays for him, I think he would have, you know, ended up in L.A.
Definitely. So. I think so, too. Well, hey, let's move on to our last segment again. Those of you that are fans.
This is my favorite part of the show.
of our reoccurring segment called Guess Who. The past couple times we've played the game Who Holds It, talking about different records. And today we're going to talk about Who Said It.
Oh, okay.
And these are some famous quotes from different, I was going to say athletes, but it's really different people in the sports world.
Oh, boy.
And so I'm going to give you, because this is going to be difficult. I'm not going to lie to you, T. So we're going to do multiple choice here.
All right.
I'm going to see if you can get these. We're going to ask you a couple of these. The answer is always C.
Right. The multiple choice, the answer is always C.
I would not go with that. But
all right.
All right. First quote here. The quote says, "Champions keep playing until they get it right." Who said that? Was it Peyton Manning? Was it Billie Jean King? Was it Tom Brady? Or was it Kareem Abdul-Jabbar?
Champions keep playing until they get it right. That sounds like a, that's either a Brady or a Manning, but I'm going to, did Peyton Manning say that?
No, it was Billie Jean King who said that.
Wow. Okay. That makes sense too. She's definitely a hard worker.
Absolutely.
Did a lot for women's tennis.
Next one here. Good is not good when better is expected. Good is not good when better is expected. Was that Vince Lombardi, Muhammad Ali, Vin Scully, or Walter Payton?
I'm going to say, is that Coach Lombardi?
No, it is Vin Scully.
Over two, T.
Do not get skunked here. Come on, T. This is going to be real bad.
Man, this is going to look really bad if I go an 0 for this one.
All right, here we go, T. You ready?
I got to get one.
It ain't about how hard you can hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Okay.
Is it a boxer? Is it Muhammad Ali? Is it Rocky Balboa? Is it Ray Lewis? Or is it Michael Jordan?
Oh, man. Now the Michael Jordan one threw me off because now I'm thinking of the Bad Boy Pistons. Rocky, it makes sense because he took so many shots from
Ivan
Drago in Rocky IV. Just an unbelievable amount of shots to the face. Too many concussions that he could survive through. I'm going to say, is it Muhammad Ali?
It's Rocky. Oh, O-T.
I had it. I made the pitch for Rocky.
And you did? Why you didn't even say Muhammad Ali one time?
I made the pitch for Rocky and pivoted right to Muhammad
Ali. Oh, over three.
Oh, I got to get one of these.
All right, next one. Make each day your masterpiece.
Oh, man.
Was that Arnold Palmer? Was that John Wooden? Greg Popovich? Or Serena Williams? Make each day your masterpiece.
John Wooden got a lot of good quotations. I'm going to go John Wooden.
Ding, 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 ding.
Yes,
ding.
I got
one for four.
I did it.
One for four. I was John actually Wooden. Hoping you went 0 for 5. I'm not going to lie to you.
John Wooden. Yeah, he's a very quotable coach.
He is. All right, here we go. Last one. Wisdom is always an overmatch for strength. Wisdom is always an overmatch
these
for strength.
Good. These are good ones.
These are.
That I've never heard before.
Here we go.
I've never heard
I could have done float like a butterfly, yeah, sting like a bee. I didn't want to do crazy easy ones.
Give me a little bit of
here room. We go. Is it Phil Jackson, Kobe Bryant, Jerry Rice, or Bill Belichick? Wisdom is always an overmatch for strength.
That sounds like a Zen master style quotation. I'm going to go Phil Jackson.
That is correct. No. Phil yes. Jackson, two redemption. For five.
Redemption.
Man,
not
there we
about
go.
How you start, how you finish.
That's right. You got the last two right.
Well, actually, I was 2-0.
Yeah, no one else sees it that way, T. Great job there. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in for today's episode. Hope you guys enjoyed that. Look forward to seeing you on our next episode of Water Break.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Water Break. New episodes are released every Monday, so don't forget to hit that subscribe button to be notified when a new episode is available.
As you continue to listen to the podcast, we would love to hear from you. If you'd like to give feedback on the show, or you have a topic you'd like us to discuss, send an email to waterbreakpod@gmail.com. Once again, that's waterbreakpod@gmail.com.
We'll see you on the next episode of Water Break. Stay hydrated.